the wide open, got it! On the 1, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
He goes and fights and pushes, and he
is at the goal line, and it is caught and juggled and caught, touchdown!
Oh, my goodness.
It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube.
40, 45, 50, he's in open field, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! It's a one-play drive!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
So Mike Holmgren goes on a Seattle radio station, and in the course of an interview, mentions about his longevity as president of the Cleveland Browns. It comes up in the conversation, and he does a little math. The guy asks him, how much longer do you see yourself there in 10 years? And Mike does the math. He's 63 now, thinks about 73, and says, probably not. And it leads to a firestorm, a full-fledged firestorm of commitment, of whether the guy really is engaged to be part of this team. It just bleeds into all this other conversation. And the Browns struggling, and no word from the president. Where is he? When is he going to talk? When is he going to tell us kind of the state of the Browns? So, today, Mike Holmgren, in the aftermath of this Seattle radio station situation, I guess that's the way to put it, talks to the media, and he sits down and covers a lot of ground. It was about a 46-minute session. Now, Mike has done these sideline informal discussions. He's tried to avoid going up to the main podium in the media room here in Berea, and he tries to do it off to the side, just a little more of an understated thing with the press corps. But today he ended up at the podium, and he ended up there for 46 minutes, as I mentioned, and answered, again, a lot of questions straight up on what the situation with his future and highlights of what he sees of this team. So let's listen to Mike Holmgren addressing his time with the Browns and his big picture perspective on the team.
This is important to me, and I've told you this, and I mean this, is that getting the Cleveland Browns to a point that we, first of all, that our fans are very proud of the football team, how we're playing, become a playoff caliber team with a chance to get to the Super Bowl, building it properly. I'm all in. I am all in. You know, Kathy and I are living here. We are involved in the community. That's how we do it, wherever we are. So, you know, people shouldn't, I don't know why they would anyway, but people shouldn't think too much about that. That's my commitment. How long will it take? Tough question. Tough question. I've always said, as an example, in my two previous experiences in Green Bay, we came in 1992, we were in the Super Bowl 5 years later, won the Super Bowl. In Seattle, came in, we were in the Super Bowl 7 years later, but it took me two more years to find the quarterback. So it's kind of a five-year, we've been able to do it, and I don't say I've been able to do it, but my group has been able to do it in 5 years. But that you know, a couple things are important there. You have to have good drafts. I have the utmost confidence in Tom Packard to do a good job in the draft. So I think we'll do things properly there. The quarterback, you have to find the quarterback that can get you there. That's as big as anything. And, Colt this year, he's still a pup, you know, and he's out there and playing and getting banged around and playing pretty well, actually. But then at times playing kind of young, too. But he will play this season, and Lord willing, he stays healthy. And at the end of the year, we'll look back and evaluate that. And he knows that, and we know that. I think what he does and how he performs will speak for itself. But that's an important part of success. If you look at the last two drafts and the guys Hayden and Ward, we like the job Pinkston is doing at guard this year. He's a rookie. our defensive linemen, the two rookies were playing in the defensive line. We got young people playing, gaining valuable experience, who appear to be solid, if not solid plus starters, really pretty good players. And that's how you build it. So I'm optimistic, but it takes some time. It takes some time, and you guys know that, and I know the frustration. I know all that, but it building it properly, it takes some time.
All in. That's my biggest takeaway from that, and I'm going to make this personal from my perspective. I believe Mike Holmgren when he says all in. I believe him when he says he wants to see this through and make this team great. All the things he signed up for, because that's what brought me here. I'm a reasonably recent hire for this team. I left a tremendous gig covering the NFL for NFL.com and NFL Network. Did it for a dozen years. Figured it would be my last job in football journalism. Figured it would be my last job, period. Hoped it would be. But then this opportunity came calling. And I took it primarily because the guy whose voice you just heard is behind this whole thing here. I took it because I believed he's all in and capable of turning this thing around and capable of being part of something very good, which it is, which I believe it is. Team, the record, the performance, yup, not so good. And a long way to go. But I bought that explanation that he just gave. That's consistent with this program being growing and having the pieces of young players put in place. I bought all of that. And I bought the business plan that's here, and I bought this concept of doing this show, and I bought the fact that this is a really great place in a building that's vibrant and enthusiastic and has a lot of different age people, but especially a lot of young people who are also fully committed to what Mike Holmgren's vision is all about. And that includes the head coach as well, Pat Shurmur, and Tom Heckert, and all the folks that we deal with here on a regular basis in Berea. So to the question that I've been asked about, you know, what's the deal with this guy, Holmgren, and how long is he committed to this whole thing, and how committed is he to the Browns? I think he's very committed. And if I didn't think he was very committed, I'm not signing up here, and I'm not committed to what I'm committed to. So it goes hand in hand. That's how committed I am. Put my basic career and life into this. Can I say it any more plainly than that? All right. We have an interactive show. We always do. And one of the ways that we interact with you is to put a daily poll question up there. It's sponsored by Quaker Steak and Lube. And today's question, what kind of an impact will new Browns running back Chris Obanaya have on Sunday's game against the Seahawks? Large, medium, small, kind of doing this like a fast food order, or none? Many of you are voting on this, and at the end of the show, we will give you those results, or toward the end of the show. We also take your questions at our Browns official Facebook page and Twitter page, and on Facebook, a whole bunch of you have asked questions, and I will address them, at least one of them right now. Andrew asks, what one player on Seattle's offense and their defense present the biggest problem for the Browns units, and how do you plan on stopping them? The biggest offensive threat, I think, is Marshawn Lynch. The quarterback situation there is in flux with the injury, the pectoral injury to Tavares Jackson. Charlie Whitehurst probably going to be the guy who gets the start. I think between them, you've got two struggling quarterbacks, but you have a real dynamic running back. Even though this is a 29th ranked run offense in the NFL, don't be fooled by that. Marshawn Lynch is a beast. He gets into beast mode, and that's a challenge for the Browns defense to handle. I was asked about defense. It was broken down that way. Earl Thomas worries me as a safety, as a free safety, but I think I'm even more concerned about a guy not on defense. I'm thinking about Leon Washington as a return man. I think he is the other dangerous guy to go along with Lynch in this ballgame. That the Browns, who just gave up 101-yard touchdown return last week to Jacoby Ford in Oakland, have got to be on their game in a big way to deal with that. Good show for us tonight, real good one. Jim Mora, he's with Fox Sports. He'll be the analyst for Sunday's Fox coverage of this game with the Seahawks. And he's going to stop by and talk about, break down the game between the Browns and the Seahawks. We're also going to hear a little something different. You're familiar with the site, and maybe you're not, but if you are, you'll know how good this is going to be. ColdHardFootballFacts.com. It's a site that takes a thorough statistical view of the game. And I highly encourage you to go there. We've got the founder of the site. His name is Kerry Byrne from Boston, Boston, Mass. He's going to come aboard and give us that cold, hard statistical analysis of the Browns, past and current, and a couple of looks around the league, and especially the AFC North. You're going to be fascinated. You're going to want to hear that. And, of course, our historical take on the opponent, Steve King, our resident historian, stops by to do that, the history of the Browns-Seahawks series. All right, in a couple of minutes, a conversation ahead with Jim Mora on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. And it's brought to you by Madden NFL 12. It's in stores now. EA Sports, to the game.
Shop Ohio's largest selection of Ford trucks at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group, and get the best deal of the year on a new Ford Ranger. Liberty Ford has hundreds of fuel-efficient Rangers in stock now with up to $5,000 in rebate. Or get 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 cash back, and another $1,000 for your trade. That's 0 for 60 plus $2,000 on Ranger. Guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty is in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick,
at Biljack, we know your dog is an important member of your family. Since 1947, we've been committed to providing only the highest quality nutrition and the absolute best tasting dog food. Biljack is a proud partner of the Cleveland Browns, the biggest dogs in town. And like the Browns, Biljack is a hometown favorite made right here in Medina, Ohio. So pick up a bag of Biljack frozen dog food today. Biljack will make a visible difference in your dog's appearance, and your dog will love the taste, guaranteed. Available at your local Discount Drug Mart.
Universal Windows Direct is back with our crazy $99 window sale.
Bill, I can't believe we're doing this. For every window you buy, you get the second one for $99.
Mike, that's almost like giving the windows away, man.
Dude, I hear you, but it's fall, home improvement time, and we don't want people to trust their windows to just any company.
I agree. We haven't even mentioned 36 months interest-free financing.
So call us right now at 216-518-8900, and we'll give you an extra 15% off.
You're killing me, Mike.
Call Universal Windows Direct, and tomorrow you'll be saved.
I love my windows.
How do you know you're getting the best deal when you want to buy a new car?
Go to AxelrodBuickGMC.com. We'll beat anyone's price in Northeast Ohio by $500 on all new Buicks and GMCs.
Axelrod Buick GMC, treating customers like family since 1979.
Restrictions apply.
Camp Bow Wow wants to give your dog the chance to pick the winner of the big game in February on NFL Roundtable during the Really Big Show. Enter your best friend at any of the five Camp Bow Wow locations in Bedford Heights, Cuyahoga Falls, Highland Heights, Strongsville, or Westlake. The winning dog will represent Camp Bow Wow in studio on the Really Big Show to pick who will win the big game. More prizes from Camp Bow Wow will be available as well. Be sure to enter your dog to appear on the Really Big Show. For more information, log on to campbowwow.com.
Join Kenny Rhoda and Freedom Child Entertainment's Misty Gonzalez at Around the Corner in Lakewood this Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Misty Gonzalez will be performing the national anthem at this Sunday's Browns game. Come dressed like a Freedom Child, which means peace, love, and rock and roll. Kenny will be giving away ESPN Cleveland prize packs to the three top best dressed.
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infiniti. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infiniti service. To find your next Infiniti or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infiniti of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
ESPN Cleveland's traffic.
90 eastbound after West Boulevard, three right lanes closed because of an overturned car. The accident continues in the backup to West 117th. 90 westbound slow from 71 to West 98. Interbelt southbound slow, Dead Man's Curve to 77. 40 eastbound back in Broadway to Warrensville Center and westbound slow, State to 71. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850, WKNR traffic.
So happy to welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And this segment, guess who it's driven by? Yes, you got it, Liberty Ford. Time for our weekly visit with a network analyst assigned to the Browns game And this week, it'll be Jim Mora for Fox. He'll be there for Sunday's game between the Browns and the Seahawks, and we welcome him to the show. How you doing, Jim?
Vic, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So a couple of 2-3 teams going at it, but Jim, differences in the sense that the Browns come into this not feeling, I guess, quite as good as the Seahawks do. And of course, the Seahawks had a bye, but they had a win before their bye, and the Browns are kind of reeling from back-to-back losses. What's your general take of both of these clubs?
Well, you know, Seattle had the big win at the Giants and then their bye week, so they've been feeling pretty good about themselves for the last couple weeks, and they're playing a lot better offensively. Defensively, they've been doing an excellent job stopping the run, struggle a little bit in pass defense. But, you know, any time you got a win in your pocket in your last game, you feel good about it. And typically, teams traveling from west to east struggle, but the fact that they went into New York and got a victory on the East Coast, emotionally, that'll help them. In terms of Cleveland, you know, I'm excited about what's going on in Cleveland, and I know they've had a couple of tough losses, and they had some special teams breakdowns and things like that, but I think that you're seeing a merging team in Cleveland, and I really like the things that Colt McCoy's doing. I know that his numbers aren't great, but he's been a pretty good fourth quarter passer. They're doing okay on third down. They suffered some injuries. Obviously, you know, we'll find out if Peyton Hillis is going to play or not. It doesn't look like he is, but I think that what Pat Shurmur's doing in conjunction with Mike Holmgren is building an organization from the ground up that's built to last. And when you look around that building and you see some of the people that have a connection to the great teams in Green Bay and the great teams in Seattle that Mike put together, you've got to be impressed.
And Jim, you know this system and you know this formula. You've worked with Mike. Give people a perspective of what it's all about from the inside.
Well, I mean, Mike's got a plan, and he's going to stick to that plan, and he just needs to get the pieces in place. And it's really a system that was originally developed by Bill Walsh. And, you know, people talk a lot about a West Coast offense, but really it's a West Coast system for an organization. And it starts with, you know, how you acquire your players, how you evaluate in the draft, how you evaluate in free agency. It extends into the coaching ranks in terms of how you prepare, how you meet, how you evaluate your own players, how you install your offense, how you install your defense. It's very, very detailed. I mean, it extends all the way into, you know, what you eat for pregame meal, what time you get to the stadium, what time you go out for pregame warmups. I think if you looked back, if you looked at the Cleveland Browns now and you evaluated their game, the day before game routine, their game day routine, heck, their weekly routine, and even their training camp routine, it would probably be very similar to what Bill Walsh used to do in the glory years with the 49ers. And it's a proven formula. It works. Pat Shurmur is the perfect guy to operate under those parameters because he understands it. He's level-headed. He's smart. And, you know, like I said, I just think this is an emerging franchise. I think they've got the leadership in place. They've got a good young quarterback. They've got an excellent coaching staff. And they're going to be a team you need to contend with here in the near future.
Jim, the Seahawks come into this game with a second-year head coach in Pete Carroll, second year in Seattle, and a guy who is all about the positive reinforcement, the kind of that hyper-enthusiastic approach, not unlike the approach you've taken to coaching, which is very much in the high-energy sense, and I think people do respond to that, and clearly this team responded to that at least well enough last year to be a playoff team, even though it was 7-9, win a playoff game, and this was after nearly 300 transactions. Where is their program after all that rebuilding of a year ago that they did, that major overhaul? Where do you think it is now, five games into the season?
Well, I mean, I don't think the overhaul is complete yet. You know, they're always tinkering with their roster, and you mentioned all the transactions they've made, and heck, they made a big one last week in trading Aaron Curry, former first-round draft pick, to the Raiders. So I don't think the Seahawks are adverse to trying anything. I think eventually you have to kind of settle in and grow your team from within. But I think that they're still in the they're still transitioning. And assistant quarterback. I'm not sure if Travaris Jackson's the guy yet. I'm not sure if Charlie Whitehurst is the guy yet. I think that they've got an outstanding running back in Marshawn Lynch. I think they've got a good receiving core. You know, they'll get Zach Miller going a little bit more at the tight end position, but this Doug Baldwin, who's emerged, the rookie out of Stanford. Obviously, Sidney Rice has emerged. He's a good player. Mike Williams, who played really well last year, hasn't gotten going yet this year, but he's capable at any time. And then I think they've done a really good job of building a physical, strong, imposing offensive line. Now, those guys, you know, they've had some injuries, so they haven't been able to play together yet. But I think when you look at the makings of their offensive line, it's going to be a good group here in the near future. But I think this is a quarterback-driven league, and I think you have to have a quarterback that can win it on his own on occasion, and I'm not sure that they have that guy yet. But they're getting the pieces in place, that's for sure.
Jim Moore is joining us. He will be Fox's analyst for its coverage of Sunday's Browns-Seahawks game. You can also catch Jim on the NFL Network, the great work he does there, breaking things down. The Seahawks have made a dramatic shift offensively the last two games, going with this hurry-up, no-huddle, this real fast pace after being conventional offensively through the first three, and it's been a huge uptick in scoring that they've seen as a result of it in these last two games. If you can discuss how that's worked for them, but also the challenge that it presents for the Browns to defend it.
Well, it's been successful for Seattle for the last 2 weeks, and I think, you know, you catch people off guard a little bit when you do that. And I think what it does is it simplifies things for a quarterback. It simplifies his reads. It makes his game easier. And if you've got a quarterback that's a little bit limited in ability, then maybe this is a way to spread the field out a little bit, keep the defense from becoming too exotic, because it's tough to get signals in. It's tough to get lined up and do things quickly on defense when an offense is operating no huddle, and it's been very effective for them. The challenge it presents for the Browns is a couple of things. Number one, you know, you would like to be able to roll your defensive linemen through in any series and keep them fresh, because that's the most physically demanding position to play. So it's tough to get substitutions in on the defensive line. The other thing it does is it forces you at times to become a little bit more simplistic in your approach. It's harder to get the exotic blitzes and pressures and coverage packages that you want to get involved in your game plan executed, because there's less communication or less time for communication. So it forces you to be a little bit more simple on defense. But the Browns aren't real exotic on defense anyway, and they're playing pretty well. The other thing is they've had a chance now to look at it for 2 weeks. They've had a chance to study it on film. They've had a chance to go out on the field and practice and duplicate it as much as they can in their scout team work. So I don't know that it'll be a big problem for the Browns. You know, they've just got to stay up with it. They've just got to be sharp. They've got to be quick to unpile after a tackle. They've got to be ready to get a new call in. They've got to do a great job of communicating. And you know, we'll see how it goes. It'll be fun to watch.
Well, Jim, it's going to be fun to see you in Cleveland when you're here doing the game. Appreciate the time you took with us, and we'll be talking soon, man.
My pleasure, Vic. You take care.
All right, Jim Moore from Fox Sports. He'll be the analyst for Sunday's game, television coverage between the Browns and the Seahawks. Joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The hottest lease deals of the year are going on now at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Save big and lease Liberty's bestsellers, Ford Fusion or Escape, for only $179 a month. That's right, your choice, the fuel-efficient Fusion or Escape, for just $179. Great fuel economy, great payment, great choice. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty is in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Farmer Heights, Vermillion.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Buckets at the lube, or swing through the pickup Wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. In the world of big box retail, it's refreshing to find customer service with fair pricing. At Summit Sound and Security, they truly mean custom. Football season is here, and Summit Sound specializes in customizing your new home theater experience. Summit Sound is an authorized dealer of quality brands like LG, Samsung, Panasonic, Mitsubishi, and DirecTV. Stop in today and experience 3D TV in the new home theater showroom. Summit Sound and Security on Route 91 in Twinsburg and online at summitsound.net. At Summit, you've reached the peak. Join Kenny Rhoda and Freedom Child Entertainment's Misty Gonzalez at Around the Corner in Lakewood this Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Misty Gonzalez will be performing the national anthem at this Sunday's Browns game. Come dressed like a Freedom Child, which means peace, love, and rock and roll. Kenny will be giving away ESPN Cleveland prize packs to the three top best dressed.
For every tire you buy, you will get one tire free.
Incredible, but true.
Not just any tires, but select Yokohama, Cooper, Pirelli, Nitto, and more.
Buy one tire, get one tire free.
Only at NTB.
Only NTB, one of America's largest tire dealers, could make this offer with a purchase of one-year alignment policy and premium installation.
Buy one tire, get one tire free.
For every tire you buy, you get one tire free.
There is no limit to the number of tires you can buy. There is no limit to the number of tires you get for free.
The only limit is no tire dealers, please.
This offer is for the general public only.
Once again, only at NTB. For every select Yokohama, Pirelli, Cooper, Nitto, or other name brand tire you buy, you will get one tire free.
Only at NTB. Why in the world would you buy any place else?
Just before the arrival of fall, why do millions of women arrive at Kohl's? Savings on stylish fall blouses, from classic fit to bohemian style, bow tie blouses to belted tunics, in sheers, prints, and patterns. Exclusive brands like Jennifer Lopez, Elle, and Elsie Lauren Conrad. So if you want to look like you just stepped out of the pages of a magazine while still staying on budget, step into Kohl's Stack the Savings sale starting Friday. You'll get $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. No limit. The more you know, the more you call. Kohl's. Expect great things.
Join the herd with Joe Hayden every Monday night at Harry Buffalo in Parma Heights for 3D. Monday Night Football with Joe Hayden is presented by Harry Buffalo. Joe Hayden live every Monday night at Harry Buffalo, Parma Heights.
It's the largest all-wheel drive BMW sales event in Ohio, and it's only at Dave Walter BMW in Akron. Now through Saturday, get unprecedented savings on Ohio's largest inventory of all-wheel drive BMWs, like a new 2011 328i xDrive for only $399 a month with zero down, plus many other outstanding savings you can see now at DaveWalterBMW.com. The all-wheel drive sales event, now through Saturday. For BMW, CDW, Dave Walter BMW. Call 888-DRIVE-BMW. Qualified buyers only. See dealer for details.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And we are so pleased you have chosen to spend this portion of your day with us on Cleveland Browns Daily. And this Around the League segment is brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Going to give you something a little different today. We're going to talk about a website called coldhardfootballfacts.com. Some of you real football heads might know about this, and those of you who don't, you're going to get a good introduction to it because it's a very cool site with a very cool perspective. And joining us is Kerry Byrne. He's the publisher and founder of CHFF.com. Kerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Vic. Always a pleasure. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And Kerry, I think people should know that who maybe don't have an idea what this is, the unique perspective. This is a statistical analysis of pretty much the entire game and the league itself and individual games that you take. Explain the approach, and then let's use some tangible examples of how you're looking at football from the stat perspective.
Yeah, you know, basically what we do is we've studied, and I've studied personally, the statistical history of every team in the NFL going back to 1940, and that's really the pivotal date because that's the dawn of the T formation. That's when we really saw the passing game grow in importance, and it became a quarterback's league around that time, and the 1940s were really the singular revolutionary decade in football history. So that's why we start then. And, you know, basically what I've done is looked at what are good teams good at, what are bad teams bad at. And what I've found, Vic, is that the great teams throughout history were always good at the same things, and the bad teams were always bad at the same things. And a lot of what we found refutes conventional wisdom, and I think that's really the key. I think that's what we've done at Cold Hard Football Facts, is just going to what, you know, what wins football games and what doesn't. And an example of something that refutes conventional wisdom, even today, if you turn on some talk show today, some, you know, radio show, TV show, whatever, about football, someone's going to talk about establishing the run and all this and that, and I can tell you that the NFL is all about winning the, you know, dominating these guys over football field. It's all about winning the passing battles. It's all about doing it on both sides of the ball. And running, you could be a great running team, you could be a bad running team. It doesn't really matter if you don't pass the ball well. And specifically, let's look at a couple examples in Browns history.
Sure.
You know, the greatest dynasty of all time were the Browns of the 1940s and 50s, specifically from 46 in the old AFC to 1955 in the NFL. The Browns played in 10 straight, you know, pro football title games, including 6 straight NFL championship games. I'm sure all Browns fans know that. But what they may not know is that Otto Graham has the highest average per pass attempt in the history of the NFL. Just in the NFL alone, he averaged 8.63 yards per attempt, easily the best of all time. And the reason he's the only quarterback to play in 6 straight NFL title games is because he was the most effective passer in the history of football. And that, to me, is a perfect example of winning the NFL. It's not about running well. It's about passing, and not passing volume, passing efficiency.
Right.
That's what we look at. A yard per attempt, passer rating, something we call real quarterback rating. And just another example, the greatest football player of all time is Jim Brown. I mean, the numbers he put up stand the test of time. 5.22 yards per attempt on the ground, easily the most dominant running back ever. You know, if he played in the 16-game season, he would have 2,000-yard seasons, and he won one championship in 9 years because the Browns weren't consistently great passing teams during that time.
That is great stuff. And, of course, as we move into the modern day and some matchups that you look at with the stat line in mind, Atlanta playing Detroit, not a sexiest slate of week 7 games, but Atlanta-Detroit, a pretty good one because Detroit's been on a roll all year long. The Falcons are still trying to find their way and live up to a lot of hype and expectation going into the season.
Yeah, and we had little expectations for the Falcons at the start of the year. They were 13-3 last year, but that was a little bit. They were playing really smart football, but the thing they weren't doing, they were not getting the ball down the field. I'm a Boston College guy myself. I'm rooting for Matt Ryan, the Falcons quarterback, also a BC guy. But the fact of the matter is, they were a very ineffective team at getting the ball downfield, and then they made a hugely colossal mistake of chasing a wide receiver in the first round. It never works out. We call wide receivers shiny hood ornaments, Vic. We have what we call the shiny hood ornament theory of NFL history, and what that says is that wide receivers are little more than shiny hood ornaments on the engine of an NFL offense. You don't need them to win, and chasing them is a mistake. And if you look throughout all of history, there's been tons of great teams that did not have elite wide receivers or elite production at the position, and a lot of great wide receivers who never won anything. It's just really all about the quarterback, and Matt Ryan couldn't get the ball down the field last year. He's struggling this year to get the ball down the field once again. Just we have what we call real passing yards per attempt. The Falcons are 24th in that indicator, 5.8 yards per attempt, and they're just not, Matt Ryan's not able to get the ball downfield. Even with Julio Jones, they're worse this year in their downfield passing game than they were last year. Detroit, meanwhile, up and down the board is better in every single passing indicator we have, and I really think this is a game that Detroit can win by 10 points or more.
Kerry Byrne is our guest. He's the publisher and founder of ColdHardFootballFacts.com. Check that site out. A statistical breakdown of the entire NFL is the perspective of this site. And you brought up the shiny hood ornament that is the receiver, and Browns fans have been clamoring for receiver help. The feeling is that that would enhance their passing game. So give us a breakdown of the current Browns and Colt McCoy and what you think is needed for this football team to find those big plays if the answer isn't in the shiny hood ornaments.
Yeah, well, you know, Colt McCoy is a guy I really like. I thought he should have won the Heisman Trophy his junior year. That was the year he beat Sam Bradford head-to-head. I think the Longhorns won that game by, like, you know, 14 points or something. And I think that was the year Bradford won the Heisman. And I really think McCoy was a great quarterback. I thought he'd be a good pickup for the Browns. And so far we haven't seen that. Now, we've seen the ones that, you know, the new Browns have been back. The one thing they've always lacked is that elite quarterback. You can be good in a lot of things, but if you can't get the ball downfield, you can't win in the NFL. It's simple as that. And unfortunately, they just have been unable to get that guy. And if you look over the last several years, the Browns have had really, really bad, bad passing teams. We're talking to the passer ratings in the 50s and 60s. In the NFL, you know, right now, Colt McCoy's passer rating, I believe off the top of my head, is like 78, which is really subpar. Around 84, 85 is average this year. A little over 80 is average in historic times. And the elite quarterbacks are in the 90s and 100. So they're clearly lacking in that area. And I think those the quest for a big play wide receiver is a little misguided if you don't have the quarterback who can get in the ball. Remember, the Browns have had some, you know, pretty good wide receivers and tight ends in recent years that they still couldn't pass the ball downfield. And my fear is that Colt McCoy is just proving not to be the guy, and that Cleveland is still going to be spinning its wheels unless he can somehow improve. Right now, Cleveland, 5.06 yards per attempt every time they drop back to pass. 5.06. There are several teams in the NFL who have a better average of running the football, Vic. So really, that's where the impasse is for this team. And obviously, they're not running the ball well either. They're 29th in the way we look at it, average per attempt. With all that said, Seattle is not a particularly good team. This is a game Cleveland can win. I don't know if they will. I don't necessarily expect them to, but obviously it's a rare decent matchup for a Cleveland team that, you know, they have two wins this year, but against winless teams. So you'll take any break you can get, and Seattle might be one of those breaks.
Now, Kerry, as far as the rest of the AFC North is concerned, I know you have a lot of regard for Andy Dalton. We got to see a half of him before he got injured in that season opener, but looked like a kid who has a lot of promise. What do the numbers say about Andy?
Well, you know, right now we really value efficiency, and let's look at his numbers. You know, they're solid numbers. The Browns would take them at this point. They're not spectacular numbers, but, you know, the standards for rookie quarterbacks are very low. And right now he's completing 62% of his passes, 7 touchdowns, only 5 picks. You always want to be plus in that ratio. 6.9 yards per attempt, an 84 rating. That's pretty good. And, you know, right now we're on the Andy Dalton bandwagon at Cold Hard Football Facts. We're really into what he's doing. The kid's a winner. The Bengals were 4-12 last year. They're already 4-2 this year. This is a guy who went 42-7 at Texas Christian. By the way, from World War II to 2006, Texas Christian won 6 bowl games. They won 3 with Andy Dalton. He's the best quarterback to come out of Texas Christian since Sammy Barr, a guy we call the pigskin messiah because he's the best all-around football player of all time. Sammy Barr, the great all-purpose player in the history of the NFL. And, Dalton's the best quarterback to come out of that school since Sammy Barr himself. So we really like him. I mean, we're not putting him in the Hall of Fame right yet, but I think, you know, the proof is in the pudding. The team is passing the ball better. The team's steadier. The team's not, they get rid of that 2 elite receivers. You know, perfect example of it. We talked about the shiny foot ornament theory. Carson Palmer last year had 2 supposedly elite wide receivers and Terrell Owens and Shadow Chosenko, and he played terribly. And then in week 15, when those two receivers didn't play, Palmer not only had a great game, he had the best game of his career. So it's really all about the quarterback. Those wide receivers don't necessarily help you win football games. And right now, Andy Dalton is A.J. Green's having a good year. That might have been a good pickup for a team that's strong in different areas. And but right now, he just looks like he could prove to be the real deal and be a thorn in the side of the AFC North for years to come.
The site is coldhardfootballfacts.com, and also check out CHFF Insider. It's a premium product that you can purchase as well. On top of it, it even takes you deeper into the numbers. So you want to do that, and you want to check out the work of Kerry Byrne. He is the publisher and founder of the site. Kerry, great stuff, man. We appreciate it.
All right, Vic. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
All right. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. With over 30 years in Northeast Ohio, it's certain Liberty Ford will make your next vehicle purchase an easy one. A friendly and knowledgeable staff paired with high-quality customer service makes the Liberty experience impossible to beat. Plus, their guaranteed financing, award-winning service department, and body shop just add to it. Visit Liberty Ford today or go to LibertyFord.com.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop in your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of Wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Buckets at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Universal Windows Direct is back with our crazy $99 window sale.
Bill, I can't believe we're doing this. For every window you buy, you get the second one for $99.
Mike, that's almost like giving the windows away, man.
Dude, I hear you, but it's fall, home improvement time, and we don't want people to trust their windows to just any company.
I agree. We haven't even mentioned 36 months interest-free financing.
So call us right now at 216-518-8900, and we'll give you an extra 15% off.
You're killing me, Mike.
Call Universal Windows Direct, and tomorrow you'll be saved.
I love my windows.
Your American dream is out there. Protect it with American Family Insurance. American Family Insurance received the top honor for highest in customer satisfaction with the auto insurance purchase experience among consumers shopping for auto insurance in J.D. Power & Associates 2011 Insurance Shopping Study. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. Find an agent and get a competitive quote at AmFam.com or call 1-800-MY-AMFAM.
American Family Insurance.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit AmFam.com. Your American dream is out there. Protect it with American Family Insurance. American Family Insurance is a special deal for forward thinkers. Switch your auto insurance to American Family and you could save some real money with our new discount. Now that's something bright to think about. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. Find an agent and get a competitive quote at AmFam.com or call 1-800-MY-AMFAM.
American Family Insurance.
Savings may vary. See your agent for details.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car serviced, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske automotive dealership.
And we are back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Browns fans, Cleveland Browns four-pack ticket plans are now available in the exclusive club level. Enjoy climate-controlled lounges. Lounges or lounges? Either one. And premium amenities to four great Browns home games, and that includes the sold-out season finale against the Pittsburgh Steelers. For more information, call 440-824-3434 or visit clevelandbrowns.com. This history of the Browns-Seahawks series segment is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. Time for our weekly historical look at the Browns' opponent this week is the Seattle Seahawks. And helping us to do that is the resident historian of the Browns, Steve King. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Vic.
So, getting ready for the Seahawks team, as we look through our notes here, this has given way to a really good trivia question that you have as a result of this series, and I'm going to give it to you to ask the question.
Well, you know, who was the coach between Forrest Gregg and Sam Artigliano? And you wonder, well, there was no coach. Well, yes, there was. It was Dick Modjeleski in the final game of the 1977 season. They had fired Forrest Gregg.
No one remembers that.
And, yeah, and so Dick Modjeleski, who was known for being the defensive tackle on the 64 Browns, and before that, the arch rival of the Browns as a defensive tackle for the Giants, is that great trivia question. Now, we had him a while back in an interview, and I asked him about that. I said, did you want to be the full-time coach? He said, yes. In fact, when they offered him the interim job for that last game up in Seattle, he said, hey, how about a three-year contract? He says, no, we have somebody else in mind, and they mentioned Sam Artigliano, so he wanted a three-year contract. It became a three-hour contract.
Well, the 1980 Cardiac Kids had a 27-3 victory at Seattle. That was the sixth game of that 80 season. Did that I would assume at that point, as you kind of look through that season, that schedule of that year, and the scores of that year, that seemed like the start of something big for those 80 cardiac kids.
For two reasons. Number one, if you look ahead of that, in the years prior to that, the several years, and you look after that, the Browns always struggled against the Seahawks for whatever reason, and particularly so in Seattle. And you look at that 1980 season, 13 of the 16 games, 14 of 17, if you count the playoffs, weren't decided until the final 2 minutes. So all of a sudden, you get a 27-3 game. It's like you annihilated someone, very unlike them to go to Seattle and win,
yeah,
especially so in 1980.
And the Browns, again, of that year, starting off as slow as they did, so it was sort of a pick-me-up thing. And to do it out there, I mean, I know I've made that trip before. That's a killer trip from the Midwest or the East Coast.
It's a long way up there. And, Vic, and you've been around the league a long time. You know this. I think there's, you know, they all count one in the standings. Some count more than one or less than one, depending on whether you win or lose, depending on what they do for or to your football team. I think that was... even beating the Seahawks, we're even doing it in Seattle, this may be a special year. And I think that that game right there was one of the catapults that got them going in 1980, no question about it.
Go back to 1994 and the Browns, on the way to a playoff season, a wild card appearance, they end their season with an 11-5 record, and lo and behold, the team that helped themselves to do it against was the Seahawks. This one was in Cleveland, and a pretty lopsided one.
Yeah, Christmas Eve, and I think a lot of the guys. You know, that was a great Browns team. Let's not kid ourselves, but I think a lot of those guys from Seattle, they had the cars. They had the bags packed in the motor running, but they
so
went
35-9.
You know, for a team to be looking ahead to the playoffs as the Browns were, because they were going to end up playing Pittsburgh in the first round of the playoffs, and coming off that season, they had beaten Dallas, I think, the week before.
Mm-hmm.
So this was kind of a sandwich game. They could have, you know, walked through it and, you know, gone through the motions, but they went out and they had a real good performance. And you know, Bill Belichick team, wasn't going to let them do that, and was a nice springboard into the playoffs, although the playoffs didn't work out, but I mean they came out of that game, you know, feeling even more confident about themselves.
And that was the year of the Vinny in Cleveland. Vinny Testaverde having the best season up to that point of his career against the Seahawks, throws for two touchdowns and runs for another. Big Vinny Testaverde, when he's running for a touchdown on you, you're having a bad day as a defense.
You know Christmas is the next day.
Okay, so that was, and it was the second most lopsided win of the Browns that 94 season. When these teams last met, the Browns and the Seahawks, we got to go back to 2007, and a huge day for Jamal Lewis in a 33-30 overtime win. Phil Dawson providing the deciding points with a 25-yard field goal.
Oh, yeah, and I think there was a coach that may be roaming around the halls of this building, maybe by the name of Mike Holmgren, who was there. And it was a kidding aside, great game, went back and forth. The Seahawks had a third down play where they did not get a first down by a couple inches. The Browns got the ball, went down, and made a big play. So, I mean, it went right down to the wire, as many of the games in that 2007 season did. And Seattle had a good ball club. They were very good that year.
So Jamal Lewis's game was 4 rushing touchdowns.
Absolutely. And people forget what a good season he had. I mean, that might have been the last big season. It was the last big season he had. But when you score 4 touchdowns in a game, that's special. I don't care if it's in the backyard, especially when you're doing it against a team as good as Seattle was. And that, I think, was tied for second or third all-time on the team, and, you know, most touchdowns in a game. And he had a fantastic year, and that was certainly one of his best games. No question.
Steve King joining us, our resident historian on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. A guy we've got to talk about when we talk about Browns and Seahawks connections is Mike McCormick.
Great offensive. You know, people forget, great offensive tackle.
Yeah.
He was the right tackle through the 50s into the 60s when Lou Groza first. and then Dick Schaffrath were the left tackles. And so much lineage with the left tackles.
Yeah.
But they had some very good right tackles. And, you know, Mike McCormick's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
He's a Hall of Famer along with Lou Groza. We think Schaffrath someday, we hoped. I mean,
I think he deserves it. There's no question. That's another story for another day.
But as far as McCormick, so he was president and general manager of the Seahawks and even did a little coaching stint with him, at least on an interim basis in 82.
Absolutely, yes. And was there, and he kind of steered that franchise through a lot of years out there and did a variety of things for him and, became almost as well-known in Seattle as he had been back here in Cleveland in the 50s and early 60s.
And that was after, of course, Jack Patera was the name, kind of that pioneer name with that Seahawks team when they became, and I can go back to when they started as an expansion franchise. That's McCormick replaced him on an interim basis. And then he goes to Carolina after that as president and general manager.
He played under Paul Brown, and I think when he was playing under Paul Brown, a lot of those guys learned, because a lot of them went into coaching. Wiggin and other people like that. Otto Graham coached the Redskins, but I think they learned organization. And so he took that into the coaching realm, and he took that into the general manager, team president realm. But he was definitely a guy who wasn't just a guy to put on shoulder pads and go out there and hit somebody, no question.
And a painful memory to bring up that's related to McCormick was back in 95 when he got the word from Art Modell regarding what the intention was as far as moving the Browns then to Baltimore. Walk me through that.
A couple weeks, maybe a month before the announcement, broke or the news was made that they, halfway through the 95 season, they were going to Baltimore after the year. Modell had an executive meeting with the other owners, other top officials from the other teams, and basically laid the ground for work for what was going to happen. And one of the people sitting in that meeting was Mike McCormick. Now, you got to remember, Mike McCormick played from 54 to 62. Part of his soul is with the Cleveland Browns. So he sits at a meeting while someone's sitting across from him telling, oh, by the way, we're going to clean out everything that you built, and we're going to take it, and we're going to go to Baltimore. And he's powerless to do anything about it. He's powerless to tell anyone about it, even his wife.
It was
top secret. And I remember asking him probably in the 96 calendar year about that, had an opportunity to talk to him. And he said his gut churned every day about that.
He is Steve King, our resident historian. Check out his great work on ClevelandBrowns.com. Check him out on our TV platform. And you hear him here, of course, each week to break down Browns history for us. And you can take a tour with him at Cleveland Browns Stadium. This is highly, highly recommended. And if you're interested in taking that tour, call 440-824-3361 or you email tours@ClevelandBrowns.com. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Vic.
All right, much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop Ohio's largest selection of Ford trucks at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group, and get the best deal of the year on a new Ford Ranger. Liberty Ford has hundreds of fuel-efficient Rangers in stock now with up to $5,000 in rebates. Or get 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 cash back, and another $1,000 for your trade. That's 0 for 60 plus $2,000 on Ranger. Guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Hazel Heights, Brunswick,
at First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runouts, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12. True to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
Hey guys, 3-time Super Bowl winner Gerard Cherry here for Sunnyside Audi. I have decided it was time to join the Sunnyside Audi team. Just listen to these stats. Sunnyside Audi is Ohio's only exclusive four-time Magna Society dealer. They're Ohio's number one exclusive sales leader, number one certified pre-owned dealer, and number one in overall customer satisfaction. They have the best staff in the business taking care of you and your vehicle. I've got a new Audi from Sunnyside, and I can tell you, driving an Audi is an experience like no other. Sunnyside Audi has all the models like the redesigned A6, new A7, and new A8. If you want the best of the best, Sunnyside is Ohio's only exclusive R8 dealer. Drive what the pros drive. Head to Sunnyside Audi. They're right off of 71 at Pearl, or you can check them out online at sunnysideaudi.com. East side, west side, it's always Sunnyside. Sunnyside Audi.
For every tire you buy, you will get one tire free.
Incredible, but true.
Not just any tires, but select Yokohama, Cooper, Pirelli, Nitto, and more.
Buy one tire, get one tire free.
Only at NTB.
Only NTB, one of America's largest tire dealers, could make this offer with the purchase of one-year alignment policy and premium installation.
Buy one tire, get one tire free.
For every tire you buy, you get one tire free.
There is no limit to the number of tires you can buy. There is no limit to the number of tires you get for free.
The only limit is no tire dealers, please.
This offer is for the general public only.
Once again, only at NTB. For every select Yokohama, Pirelli, Cooper, Nitto, or other name brand tire you buy, you will get one tire free.
Only at NTB. Why in the world would you buy any place else?
Cleveland Clinic Spine and Pain Management Specialists offer world-class care at over 20 area locations. For a same-day appointment, call 866-721-1094.
How do you know you're getting the best deal when you want to buy a new car?
Go to AxelrodBuickGMC.com. We'll beat anyone's price in Northeast Ohio by $500 on all new Buicks and GMCs.
Axelrod Buick GMC, treating customers like family since 1979.
Restrictions apply.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Time to deliver the results of our poll question, brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. The question, what kind of an impact will new Browns running back Chris Obanaya have on Sunday's game? The categories large, medium, small, or none. Many, many of you voted on this one. You got excited about this topic. And the former Houston Texan, you said, 64% of you said, none. That was the expectation there. I think it's got to be Montario Hardesty making the impact first and foremost. But I do think the way this Browns running game is set up, you got to have this other player, this other presence. It won't be Peyton Hillis dealing with that hamstring, and you know that could be for a while. So Obanaya was brought in primarily because, again, Pat Shurmur knows him from St. Louis, and he's familiar with Shurmur's offense from St. Louis. So his understanding of this should allow for a quicker transition, and it is a fairly quick turnaround, a guy coming in on a, what is it, Tuesday and then playing on a Sunday, but that was the whole point in bringing him aboard as the Browns did. So a few comments. Jack said under the voting for no, just hoping he can catch the ball. And yeah, that's a clear shot at Montario Hardesty and a deserved one. Montario has not caught the ball in two games, caught it as well as he did in the Miami game prior to that. David voting with a small, given 21% of the small. David says, not if McCoy keeps throwing the ball 40-plus times per game. None of the running backs will make much of an impact. I go along with you there, David. Definitely an imbalance in that passing game right now. 61 and then 45 in the last game. Those are not the numbers that are going to work. And running game minuscule last game. Christopher of the 10% who said medium, he may have a bigger impact than we think. Okay, Christopher, thank you for that. The questions posted on our Browns official Facebook page. AJ, this is to ask Vic. AJ, who do you feel is the best playmaker Colt should give or throw the ball to? Number one, Greg Little. And I'd like to see Josh Cribbs heavily involved in this return game, in this passing game, as well as his obvious return ability. But in the passing game, this thought crossed my mind in practice today, watching some passing drills and Cribbs catching the ball. And I just happened to be nearer to his side, and I said, got to have the ball in that guy's hands. I turned to another Browns official today. I said, got to get the ball in this guy's hands as much as possible. Jerry, how do they stop the offense from being too predictable? Run the ball well, Jerry. That's how you do that. You create favorable down and distance situations. The way you become predictable is when you're running poorly and every situation or most situations become throwing situations. Teams can adjust accordingly. Greg, should the Browns be worried about the Seahawks passing or running game more? And this is a good one because if you look at where the Seahawks are ranked, 29th rushing, 26th passing, and you say those numbers aren't all that overwhelming, in fact, shouldn't give you much worry at all, you would think offensively. I'm going to say running game, and again, Marshawn Lynch, the beast, he worries me. He worries me against this Browns defense. What also worries me is this Browns attack style, the Seahawks attack style, fast-paced offense, because I don't think it allows the defense to get organized quickly and communicate as quickly. You got young people on that defense. They have to be sharp, as Jim Mora was pointing out. And Kyle is asking, is Colt McCoy not confident in the West Coast offense? I think he's very confident in it. I think it's the right offense for him. Thank yous to Jim Mora, to Kerry Byrne, to Steve King, to Kristen Rebelli, Jameer Howerton, Michelle Manzo, Pat McKenna, Dave DiNatale. Let's do this again tomorrow. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.